Hello, and welcome back to the Aim Upward podcast with me, your host, Craig Honeycutts. Episode 4, week 4. And I want to say thank you to all of the people that have responded to the emails that I have been sending. The last one about the art of reinvention has gotten a surprising number of responses. And I'm so grateful for each one of you for reaching out and sharing your experiences with me and just letting me know that the topics are resonating, which is awesome. And last week's guest, Steve Van Dam, asked me a question about, you know, what's the signal from these podcasts and emails, and it's been a great signal so far. So thank you guys so much. And I'm also happy to report that Steven and I made some great music for the band Everything, of which we are both a part of for many, 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 many years together. It's great to have an amazing network and amazing group of friends, so I am grateful for that. This week, I am going to re-engage the topic of active listening. It's something that's really piqued my interest. And this week, I have a very special guest in Val Hastings, Dr. J. Val Hastings, who is my coaching teacher. Val is the founder of Coaching for Today's Leader and Coaching for Today's Clergy, I think is what it's called. Yeah, that's what it is. Or Coaching for Clergy is what it is. And Val has done about 4 different coaching programs. He is a master coach, which means he is coaching at the highest level in the International Coaching Federation system. His students have gone on to get all 3 levels of coaching. He is also a professional mentor coach. He has been a mentor coach to me as well. And he is an exceptional human being. I met Val through my mentor, Mark House, and it has changed everything for me. And as I mentioned maybe last podcast few ago, I had an active listening moment being coached by Val. As he mentioned, it is an apprenticeship, and I wanted to get Val on here to talk about active listening from his perspective. He has an amazing way with words, and I wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to hear what he had to say. What I'm also going to do, and this is in tandem with the email that I send, and I will put a link in the podcast so you can sign up for my weekly email. I'm going to share a story about an experience I had with the band Everything, being a lead singer at James Madison University last October, where we went back to the place where we were educated and formed our band, and we performed with the Marching Royal Dukes, which is a 510-member marching band. We did this in front of 30,000 people for homecoming, the football game, and was broadcast online. And there was an active listening moment in there for me. So I'm going to draw some parallels and kind of repurpose some skills and just kind of talk about how things connect, how the dots connect. And on that note, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Val and talk I had with him. Hello, Val, and welcome to the Aim Upward podcast.
Hey, Craig, good to be with you. Thank you.
I've given everybody a bit of the background about how you are my actual teacher in the coaching realm. I went through your program for a little over a year, mm-hmm. and now we have arrived to where I'm doing a podcast.
Hey, congratulations.
We're going to talk a little bit about active listening today, but before we do that, just give maybe like a 3 or 4 minute background on, you know, where you come from, how long you've been coaching, those things.
Sure. So actually, I'm a dual citizen. I'm an American and a Canadian, although I live in Pennsylvania pretty much my entire life. I've been coaching. I met my first coach in 1999, knew nothing about it, just happened to sit next to a coach. She offered to coach me. Craig, I was hooked. After the first session, I was like, where has this been? Right. You know, my whole professional life. So in 1999, I started my coaching journey, not only working with a coach, but learning how to coach. It was about 2004. I went full time as a coach. Never regretted that. You know, it's paid the bills for me. I know a lot of people wonder, can you actually make a living doing this? Yeah, you're pretty good living. Been coaching for then since 2004 full time. Actually stumbled into the coach training world. The people I was coaching started saying to me, I want to do what you're doing. How do you do that? I think I'd be a better leader if I knew how to do that skill. So I started coaching and training people, and actually fell in love with the whole coach training process. As you know, as a graduate, Craig, my belief is coaching is more caught than taught.
Yeah.
It's not an intellectual endeavor. It's like an apprenticeship. You got to experience it.
Yeah.
That's the mastery right there. So that's me.
Yeah. And I caught a bunch of it. I tried to intellectualize it for a while, but it was easier to catch it in the end.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Yeah.
So speaking of catching something, mm-hmm. I did a blog or an email several weeks ago about active listening. Mm-hmm. And it's a term that I've heard used in a lot of different circles, and it always landed on me kind of strangely because it sounded something nicer than actually something I felt like I could actually practice. And even as though I was a musician and understood listening, I didn't understand active listening. And I had a moment in your apprenticeship where you were coaching me and you not saying anything, I actually felt what active listening felt like. So I want you to talk a little bit about like, what is active listening? Number one. And then number two, when do you think you had a moment in your past when you were like, had a light bulb moment around active listening?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And all of us listen.
Yeah.
It's what we're listening for, and whether it's an active listening or, you know, often we listen to respond.
Right.
So we listen for, okay, Craig took a break. Now I can jump in and do my stuff.
Right.
That's not active listening. Active listening is just really being so present that it's as if Craig is the only person in the room. And I'm not only, my ears are not the only part that's active. It's also my eyes, and it's my hunch. It's my curiosity. Someone said to me years ago when I was first learning that listening, the active listening we're talking about, is like stepping into a pool of water and standing still enough that the ripples actually stop and you can see your feet. And that's active listening. It's being still enough. It's being present enough in the moment, often not saying a word, but suddenly the ripples stop. And not only does the coach see clearly, but you know, like your experience, Craig, suddenly you got it. You see it.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's just being so still, the ripples have stopped. So I'll stop there for a moment. Is that kind of getting
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that's really incredible. Absolutely. That is a very ironically clear way of looking at it. And, you know, and it's interesting you say that, because what I also talked about and felt a little bit is that by being that active reflection band, right? So the energy comes to you and it goes back into the person speaking, and you're not saying anything, you're just feeling it. And what I notice is that it allows whoever's being coached to speak their version of their truth to the best of their ability. And in that silence and space, they hear themselves very clearly, and they get to start to understand what real direction looks like.
You know, if I were to use kind of images or metaphors, the listening, sometimes we're like a mirror where we are reflecting it back. And you know, it's a different reflection that they've had before. Other times we're more like a telescope where we're kind of like, they're looking through us to see what's possible.
Yeah. Amazing. I could tell you've been doing this for a while.
well, you know, my journey was, I'm a recovering fixer, Craig.
Yeah.
I was listening to fix. Yeah. That was the hardest part for me to unlearn.
Yeah.
And fixing rarely works. It does work on occasion, but rarely is that what people need.
Yeah, right on. So question two, is there a moment in your journey as a coach where you had that click of like, oh, this is what active listening is?
So yes, I've had a number of clicks along the way. I think the first time I really got it was when I was being coached. Similar to your story, like I was being coached, and my coach of many, many months all of a sudden said, you know, I've heard you use this phrase a couple times recently. You know, what's that all about? And I was like, I don't use that phrase. What are you talking about? And he said, you do. And suddenly I got it, like, oh yeah, what is it with that phrase? And it became one of those defining moments,
right,
where all of a sudden I began to rethink how I was seeing myself. In that moment, I was like, oh my word, this is huge. A shift happened. I was like, that's what I want to be able to do.
Right.
And again, as a recovering fixer, that was not an easy thing for me to learn. But I felt it. So
that's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome. Is there anything you want to tell my network about what you're doing at all before we hop off? Because I know your time is precious.
Oh, no. I mean, first of all, I'm so glad that they're listening to your podcast and interested in listening and coaching. I'm all about creating coaching cultures. And I believe the world would be so much better if we were listening to each other.
Yeah.
Not to respond, but just to really hear and get people. So I applaud your audience. Keep doing that. Work with a coach. And as many of my clients did early on, learn how to coach.
Yeah.
Even if you don't want to do this full time, it will help in every aspect of life. So
I agree. I've had so many people come up and say, hey, Craig, what's going on with you? Listening.
Yeah. People notice a difference. And actually, one of the things you need to be careful of as a coach is that people are drawn to being listened to. And you have to really kind of put up solid boundaries and take care of yourself because people are drawn.
Yeah.
It's kind of addictive for people.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting for me, Val, is that because I've been a songwriter, I've been a deep listener at certain times, and I've always had a sign on me that says, tell me everything. So learning how to be a coach has actually taught me boundaries and how to be a healthy listener.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because we can only listen to the level that we're healthy.
Yeah.
And we've taken care of ourselves. It's that, you know, when you're flying the oxygen mask, you can't help anyone if you're not breathing.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Brother Val, thank you so much. Thanks for being my teacher. And I'm sure I'm going to be pinging you again on another topic.
Hey, absolutely, Craig. Love it. Love it. Congratulations again on your work.
Awesome, brother, man. Thank you, Val.
All right. You bet. Woo. Thank you.
And that is Val Hastings. And I am sure I'm going to be asking him more questions to get him on the podcast because he is a fountain of coaching wisdom. And as you can tell, he's excellent with language. It's all very clear with him, and he keeps it very basic and very clear, but there is sophistication in keeping it uber transparent and simple. You can go to coachingfortodaysleaders.com to find out more about his coaching programs, more about him. He's a badass. I love it. I love it. It's awesome. So, as I mentioned, I am going to connect some dots here with a story that is in my email for the week. And it's around an experience I had at JMU where I went to college. Went to college there twice, actually, and put the band Everything together. And we went back for homecoming and spent about 6 months trying to put together a performance with the Marching Royal Dukes. We had a lot of amazing help. The Marching Royal Dukes are the largest college marching band in the country. And I think they're the largest marching band in the country. They have 510 members. And we did a 90s mashup featuring our hit song, Hooch. So I am a singer-songwriter in other careers and a lead singer of a band. And sometimes it's interesting to think about that skill set. So I have a strange skill set. I can stand on stage with a microphone and have a band and be in front of thousands and thousands of people and know what to do and have time slow down for me and to feel things at a very interesting level. And I've never understood how that skill set even remotely works in the real world. And this last October, we put this big performance together. So it's 510 member marching band on the field in front of 30,000 people in a football stadium and thousands of people online watching live. And I'm a singer. And it was my job to sing a song, to be a great band member, to help feel the vibe and deliver the performance. and we rehearsed a lot. We prepared with the band. And I want to break it down as to how this relates to active listening, because I had an aha moment about how it all actually works. So let me break it down into a few different layers. So the first layer is my experience. So I have in-ear monitors, so they're earpieces, and I can hear myself sing, and I can hear Steve Van Dam, who was in the last podcast, Steve Singer, guitar player, and our drummer Nathan, and Nathan's on a drum riser, and he's also singing. So it's the core of our band, and we sing in harmony, and we play together. So it's a very tight circle. It's very intimate in the ear. So I can hear that. I can hear myself very clearly. I can also hear external noise, but I can monitor myself. So that loop is very quick. And I can get that instantaneous feedback for the band. So we're in an intimate connection through in-ear monitors. And that's really important. So I can feel the core with my guys. The next layer, with a giant marching band, the pulse of that band, because it's spread out over a 100-yard field, like it is full. The pulse of that is the drums, the drum core and the drum major. So standing in front of us, about 30 yards in front of us, is the drum major, and they're on a riser. In this case, it was a young woman. She's dressed in her marching band outfit, and she had the baton, and the giant, you know, the audience was behind her, so there's thousands and thousands of people up the side of the football stadium, and she is physically counting the music, right? So you can see what the tempo is, where one is. So she's counting, she's conducting, but she's doing that based on the drum core. Now the drum core is about 30 yards behind us. And there's probably somewhere between 20 and 30 percussionists. And they are watching the drum major, who's watching them, and there's a feedback loop between them, and we're in between that feedback loop, and there's a little bit of a delay. And the drum major is also a little bit, there's a little bit of flex in between the drum core and the drum major. And so I hear my guys, I have to watch the drum major and listen to the drum core, and we have to find where the groove is. Now you're starting to getting a little bit of delay in that feedback loop. So I really have to feel it. So, right, so there's active listening with my guys, it's instant, there's active listening with the drum core, but then that active listening, like Val was saying, is that I'm using my eyes with the drum major, because I have to watch what she's doing, because she's our metronome, but it's visual, she's not making a sound. And then we feel this, and so you have to find a groove in there, right? So active listening is finding, like, what is the feel of this, so that we can get some kind of thing going on. And then the next layer is the marching Royal Duke's body. So I'm just going to call them the body. That's the rest of the band. That's another 490 members. And they are spread out 50 yards on either side of us and 50 yards behind us. Gigantic. And what happens is we are in the middle of the pulse, so we're figuring out the groove of the rhythm. And then on the wings, once they start playing, they're delayed. So there might be a half second behind us. So I liken it to being on a rhythmic trampoline. So here's the core of what we feel, which is the heartbeat of the thing. And then when the music starts going, it starts turning into this giant sonic bouncy house. So you can't listen to the wings of it because it's delayed. And so you have to listen to the what's going on with the three band members. You have to watch the drum major, and you have to feel the drum core, and you have to trust that pulse and know that the wings are going to be flexing in rhythm. So you can't pay attention to the wings. You just have to feel it. So the active listening is also a bodily thing of like going, okay, cool. I have to listen through the wobble of the horn section that's like 50 yards to my right or to the left or whatever. I think it was tubas to the right and trumpets to the left. It's hard to keep track of. So that's going on. And then there's the crowd. It was a full moon and there's 30,000 people in there. It's halftime. It's totally celebratory. And in that moment, it's my job to feel the crowd, to feel like what's happening. How grateful are we? What's the celebratory mood? Is it somber? In this case, it was not somber. It was actually, you know, very, very like joyous. And I might say a few words. In this case, it was very few, and it's my job to sing to this audience and to feel them and to feel the sound echoing off of the stadium, because that's also a spatial relationship. is to feel my voice going up into the stands through people and back to myself. And to have this experience that in my in-ear monitors where I can hear my guys very dry in my ears, but also hear myself off the stadium and feel the audience and hear them and observe what they're doing. And to feel them as a giant unison, because giant crowds are almost like a force rather than when you're dealing with one person who is a complex force that's intimate. There's an intimacy to large spaces. And so to treat that with great respect and to feel all of this at once and feel that relationship. So there's a spatial relationship of being in a football stadium, and then there's the social relationship of singing a song to all of these people, some people who knew the band, some people who did not, and coming back to the relationship I have with my bandmates. And then also, we developed a relationship with various members of the Marching Royal Dukes over the week that we rehearsed with them, because we probably spent 8 hours rehearsing together. We showed up before the gig on the quad where the band was warming up. We got adopted by the tubas. They did a whole ritual to bring us into their scene. We marched into the stadium with them, and we became part of their band. We became nested in the experience, in the fabric of the moment. And all of this is going on, and as I realized, it's like, oh, we rehearsed. There's an inner dialogue that happens as well. And so a lot of preparation, having faith, getting ready. The voices of fear were quiet, because that's also active listening. It's quieting your inner dialogue. And to go out there and be very, very present and be very still in this incredibly energetic moment. And for me, that's where time slows down. And that's active listening for me. And it's a very unique thing for someone to be able to do in the world, and I'm really grateful. And that's the feeling that I felt when I started to understand active listening when I learned from Val. Like, oh, there's this transparent energy flow that goes on through words and listening and posture and vibe and eyes and intuition and social intelligence, emotional intelligence, all of these things together in our really beautiful human computer. And it's really interesting because we all active listen when we focus on it. And doing that one-on-one, doing that in a team, doing that with your family, like we all can do that. I mean, granted, going out on a football field with a giant marching band is a giant forcing function to pay attention, but it's always available when we're working with someone, when we're just listening to someone. It's really powerful. So I hope that's helpful. And thanks for listening to the Aim Upward podcast. We're going to keep doing this each week. Check the links. I'll put Val's link in there. I'm going to put a link in there so that you can sign up for the old email and get my email every week. And just really be good to yourself. It's chaotic out there. Let's be a force of good.